Yes, and hey, teacher, because Dave Loudon, of course, is from La Trobe University. If you want to be involved in the media, you want to learn anything about the media, you want to be a writer, you want to be on TV, you want to be on SEN, you want to be on radio, well, go to La Trobe University because they've got all these courses down there that can introduce you to the world of media because they are the best in the business. G'day, Dave.
G'day, KB. Nice to see nice people.
Pretty true, isn't it?
I'm happy to take the accolades. Yeah. On behalf of the university, of
university.
Course. But we are genuinely trying to keep track, and it's not easy, but we're trying to keep track of the developments in the industry and give people skills rather than train them for a particular vocation so that you can go out into the media and do a whole lot of things. And people are getting jobs, but we must talk about that another time. I've only got one topic today, but it's a big one.
Is it?
Mick Malthouse. Now, Mick. I've got to do a disclaimer first. Mick is a Vice Chancellor's Fellow at La Trobe University, where we've just mentioned I work. And so I am open to being accused, I guess, of supporting a colleague. But regular listeners will know that I have criticised him in the past too. But thanks to Mick and Jay Allen and Loretta Johns, La Trobe sport journalism students attend Mick Malthouse's press conferences to do real-time assignments. So I just need to put that out there that, look, we do have a connection, a professional connection. But the theme of today's segment comes from The Godfather.
Never tell anybody outside the family what you're thinking again.
That was a great line from The Godfather. What a movie.
What a movie. What an actor, Marlon Brando.
He's talking
Brando.
To Sonny there, I think.
He's talking to Sonny. The Godfather's talking to Sonny, telling him off for telling people outside of the family what the family business
was thinking.
And the reason I've played that is because we've seen that from Carlton this week. They seem to be talking to each other in the public forum and they're telling the public what they're thinking about things that perhaps could stay behind closed doors. I think Carlton are bracing themselves. I'm not saying that they're bracing themselves or getting ready to get rid of Mick, but I think due diligence is that if they decide they are, they need to know how they're going to operate that. And I was thinking about clubs that have had a legend and he will be a legend. Like, he will go down into the legend category with your good self. And I think Essendon with Kevin Sheedy, they had to kind of work out, what are we going to do there? There's not many occasions where so Carlton have kind of inherited this legend status because
he's not really a legend.
He's
at
not
Carlton.
A legend at Carlton, but he's a legend of the AFL.
Of the game.
He's about to break the record. So there's some interesting. So I'll mention that as context. But what we've seen in the past couple of weeks is Carlton telling everyone outside of the family what they're thinking, and it started with the president Mark Legudice, saying that Mick had the job until the end of the year, that the club was rebuilding. Then Mick said rebuilding's for November, which strategically I think was a big mistake. But he said it for the right reasons because I know that Mick backs his current players, and he won't coach a group. He won't look them in the eye and say publicly they're no good and then ask for them to, perform on the field. He just can't cop that. And I get that. So that's fair enough. But my job is, from a comms perspective, strategically, what happened was that the king of the rebuild message, which I think was what should have been out there, got lost. But he did start off on the right foot last Friday on SEN when he came on for an entire hour on the coach's box. And he went through each team that he'd coached previously and how he'd viewed the list at various stages. Here's what he said about the Pies.
Collingwood was a bit different because I think we had three or four sides. We started off with one, and with time we got to 2002, no one expected us. Well, after your 2-5, I don't think anyone expects you to make the grand final. And I think that was almost a false dawn. We realised that was not quite the side that was going to win a premiership, even though we're in two grand finals. And then 2007 was interesting because I could just see an evolution because it was probably the last of Anthony Rocker, who I think was an absolute rock for us. And then Nathan Buckley and Scott Burns and perhaps Shane Wakelin, I think. And then all these kids started to say, no, we can actually take over. So 3 years later, it was done.
But instead of reclaiming the king of the rebuild message, it was swamped by this.
Look, I've never been on my knees. I've never knocked on doors. I have no intention of doing either. I am contracted to the end of this year. I would expect a coach at the end of this year. I think that's all coaches' expectations. Whether that happens, all coaches expect that. It doesn't always happen. But all I know is I'll give my best until my contract's up and the club has said to me that they will address the issue at the end of the year or thereabouts, and I'm quite content with that.
So remember that last part. The club has said to me they'll address the issue at the end of the year. Now listen to this.
It's just good business practice, good club practice, to let it run for a little bit longer. We've got 5 months to go.
Yeah, right? I know that good football club practices. I mean, seriously, that is... That is CEO talk. We are talking about a guy who has shown three times that he can build a club. Three times. A struggling club with no money, a club with bountiful money, and the biggest club in the competition. Mick Malthouse has shown that he can develop and build them really quick. I just can't believe that Carlton are allowing him to go to the end of the season because it's good business practice. There is good football practice as well. And I think if you were going to appoint Mick Malthouse, I think he probably comes under the good football practice headline.
Reasonable, very, very reasonable points. Somewhat, rather than CEO talk, somewhat journalistic talk in terms of the provocation that's in it. Because we didn't say the end of the season. We said we'll let the first half of the season go before we make a final call as a board.
Well, Mick thinks it's the end of the season. So what is it? Is it the end of the season or isn't it?
So there's a mixed message there.
There's a conflict in the way the message is received by the coach himself. Then 7.5 minutes later in the Trigg interview, he said this.
Robbo makes a fair point about his CV. Look, it's unsurpassed, right? But Mick is 61 and it's a long season with 5 months to go. One of the questions for Mick is in the review of whatever scale of review we do is, Mick needs to answer the question, has he got the energy? Does he still have the energy to do it? It's a really incredibly demanding business.
That caused an absolute storm. I heard you talk about it, Patrick talked about it, and it derailed Trigg's own message, which was that he wants the Blues to become a dominant club. And he used the word dominant several times in an interview that lasted about 15 minutes. And that's a good message, but the fallout from the reference to Mick's age prompted opinion leaders and industry leaders to come to Mick's defence, like Patrick Smith on your show on Monday, like Mark Evans from the AFL, who said it's time for people to show Mick some respect. Now, Mark Robinson asked Trigg during the Crunch Time interview, what was Carlton waiting for in terms of re-signing Mick Malthouse? The start of Trigg's answer here is in the past tense.
So we want to see that Mick is able with us to grow the club, to be on message, to make sure that we can develop our team, to make sure there's a connection there.
So we wanted to see? Now, that could have just been a slip of the tongue or I might have misheard it, but maybe they've made the decision or maybe they're talking about making the decision. But in terms of whether Mick is on message or not, Trigg had said this earlier in the interview.
I find him on the inside to be on song with where we are and where we're going, and that's the, you know, there's no gilding the lily with that. He's right on song. So no, I don't find him hard to manage at all.
He talked last night about rebuilding, and he said rebuilding is for November. I mean, and for Stephen Silvani to worry about that. Is that consistent with what your line of thinking is as well?
Well, it's consistent with Mick, and everyone is on the same page at Carlton about all of this.
So I'm confused now. Is he on message or isn't he? Are we waiting to see if he's on message? Are we?
Well, don't forget, he did retract those comments, Stephen Trigg. He said when he saw it in print, he realised it wasn't the right thing
about
to say.
About the age.
About the age and yeah, energy. He said, look, it was in conversation, and as a result, I said those things. And then when I looked back and saw those things reported, I realised that was not the right way to present, and he spoke to Mick after that and obviously cleared the air.
But the age is not the issue, is it? The age is whether or not they think Mick is the right guy for the job. I mean, yes.
But they brought up the age, 61 originally, and I did a take and said, well, if you're unsure when Mick is 61 and you've got to rebuild, which is going to be for at least 3 or 4 years, what are you going to think when you know he's going to be 62, 63, 64 and 65?
Yeah, and I mean, seriously, I mean, the broader context, the government's asking us all to work longer and older. I heard you talk about Hillary Clinton running for president at 67. I mean, people don't lose, they don't even hit 60 and suddenly become nuffers, you know. So anyway, but I don't want to contribute to the age debate because it's good that Stephen's retracted comments.
That.
But the key part of it was that part of why they're waiting is they're waiting to see if he's on message.
And Media Performer of the Week?
Well, the Media Performer of the Week is Nick Maxwell, who, and again on SEN, on the run home, for setting the agenda and perhaps in doing so, doing his old coach a bit of a favour.
Strategy-wise, I think that it's time we evolved as a game. It's time that we trade any time. You can trade, any club can trade whenever they want, as long as the two clubs agree and the player being traded agrees.
I'd be horrified if it happened, by the way, but he did at least do what a special commentator is supposed to do and set the agenda.
Yep, and he did, and we spoke about it a lot on this program, took a lot of calls on those thoughts of Nick Maxwell. Always great to catch up from the man from La Trobe, and if you want to get involved, just go to the website and have a look at all the media programs you've got there, and you too can work in the media.
Mid-year intake coming up, so come and join us.
Okay, coming up, Footy Focus is coming up with Scotty Lucas.